Happy High Sabbath to everyone. It's good to see you all. We have a sunny day, isn't that nice? As we begin the services for today, the last day of unleavened bread, you know, we've observed the Passover service that Christ instituted, taught the disciples. Pass that knowledge down to us of the foot washing ceremony, breaking of bread, the drinking of the wine. We celebrated the remembrance of the Israelites leaving Egypt. We know Christ was crucified, was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. We've eaten unleavened bread for 7 days. And if you're creative in baking, hopefully some of those unleavened bread was pretty good. One of the things I've been thinking about this week is how sin affects our daily lives. And during this time, we concentrate on the removal of sin. And sin becomes a tribulation. It becomes a trial for me. And I just can't get out the broom and sweep it out like breadcrumbs out of my life. I have to fight it. So that's why I say it's, for me, it's a trial. And when I think about throughout my message, I kind of interchange tribulation with the word sin. But is all tribulations related to sin? And the answer is no. You can have trials and tribulation, and it's not directly related to sin. And a perfect example of that is Jesus Christ. We know he did not sin, but yet he had trials and tribulation, and Jesus Christ overcame. Christ gave us some inspiration, the book of John. He said, "Behold, the hour is coming, indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Take courage. Christ says, I have overcome the world." We know that Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was tested by Satan. Satan himself, and asked Christ if he wanted to be the ruler of the world. We know that that would have been temporary if Christ would have said yes. But he resisted Satan. In Revelation, it says, Christ is the Lord of lords and King of kings for eternity. Eternity. Let's start off by turning to Acts 14, 22 is the main verse we'll focus on. Acts 14, 22. We'll start in verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. We ourselves have trials that test our mental status, our physical well-being, ailments, our spiritual strength. Our trials consist of everything from having cancer to types of addiction to losing a spouse or a child or a parent. It could be a miscarriage, losing a job. And for years, our car broke down right before feast, year after year after year. or have to go through a divorce. We have brethren that go through a divorce in the church. Point is that there's many trials that all of us are going through. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians 4. We'll begin in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, how do we remove the sin from our lives? It's easily said. We have our so-called demons that we fight day after day. And as I had read, John wrote down in Scripture how Christ had overcome the world. He had tribulations, trials to overcome, and prove himself worthy to be our Savior. He did this voluntarily for you and I. Today, there's three points I'd like to discuss concerning you and I overcoming our sin, our tribulation, our trials. And it's not when we have tribulation, but God looks at how we handle it, how we handle our trials. Point one I have is develop a strong, unmovable faith in God the Father and Christ our Savior. Point number one, develop a strong, unmovable faith in God the Father and Christ our Savior. How knowledgeable would we be if we had zero experience? It's easy to say that I have faith, even though I haven't gone through any trials. But when you go through hard times, hard experiences, you can say you've been through a life-threatening or soul-breaking experience, as I made it through due to my faith that we read in Scripture. That I have faith that Scripture is accurate and correct. We have to be able to say that I have faith that when I read Scripture about the plan of God, the meaning behind the holy days, keeping God's word, being obedient, reading about the marriage supper, knowing about the thousand-year plan, the millennium, the resurrections, New Jerusalem descending from heaven. It is for us to be at the level of faith that all these things we know will occur. And when we have a trial, that when we have faith, when we're broken, we give it up to God the Father, Jesus Christ, to worry about. Allow him to take care of the situation. We ourselves are not in a position where we can reach our hand out and feel where the sword was in Jesus Christ. You and I have to have faith that these things will occur. Faith is what's going to help us through our trials, to help us through removing the sin out of our lives. And I don't want to sound negative, but you and I are going to have bad things happen in our lives throughout our lifetime. Most of us already have. Paul was blinded and stricken with a sickness. And I bet each one of you could probably tell me a story of a horrific event that's happened in your life. And most of you know my story. Well, let's look at another story in Joseph's life. Genesis 37, verse 1. Genesis 37, 1. And we use these stories to learn from in our lives as we raise children. We'll read 1 through 4. It says, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the son of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of their brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Being the baby of the first of the family, Daddy loved Joseph more than all the others. What does this do? It created contentment and hate from his brothers. And that's why we as parents need to learn from Jacob and treat our children as equally as we can. We don't want that contentment and hate between our children. And as we know, Joseph ended up a slave and was thrown into prison for a few years. But he did not let his emotions, his response, dictate his actions. Joseph still loved his brothers. God had a bigger plan for Joseph than being a shepherd. He was going to help participate in saving thousands and thousands of lives. This was a big trial for Joseph. He could have easily sinned and hated his brothers for selling him into slavery. But this is the faith that we need in our lives, that God has a bigger plan for us. No matter what trial we go through, remember that this is temporary, this life is temporary, and we're to focus on our eternal life. Have faith in God the Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. By faith, know that when we repent, we are truly forgiven. Point two I have. As we go through trials, put into practice spiritual principles to overcome our sins. Trials. Put into practice spiritual principles to overcome sin. One of those principles I have is ask God for wisdom. It's pretty simple. Ask God for wisdom. And I don't mean the wisdom that Solomon asked for, but this is spiritual wisdom. Rather than following the desires of our flesh, we need to pray. In tests and trials, we often pray for deliverance. But we do not recognize that God expects us to play a role of our deliverance, that we need to respond correctly and become stronger. If God instantly delivered us from every test or trial, probably would not grow very fast. Rather, what we want to do is to pray for guidance and wisdom to deal with our test and trial, to deal with the sin that we're going through. Let's turn to James 1, verse 5. James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Under spiritual principles, a subset is to guard your heart. Guard your heart. In situations, we can gain all the insight we need if we seek the Lord, Jesus Christ, and God the Father for his guidance. We take the guidance of God and apply it while remaining stable and calm, which is very difficult to do in a trial. We have to keep doubts and worries from coming in our hearts and overwhelming us with fear. It is from the heart that we develop the attitude that governs our lives. Jesus expands our understanding of this principle in Luke 6, verse 38. Luke 6, 38. Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So our ability to visualize or imagine is in our hearts. Often when trials and tribulations come, we have a tendency to imagine the worst that can happen. How do we guard our hearts? Peter tells us to cast all of our care, casting all your worries on Christ, because he cares for you. Sometimes Christ tells us that prayer is not enough. Sometimes when we pray to overcome, we have to fast. Some problems require prayer with fasting. Don't ever rule this out. You can even call upon your brethren to fast with you as a group. This is overlooked a lot of times in Christianity. Fasting with prayer. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. Second Chronicles 20, verse 1. We'll read through verse 4. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask him help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Imagine you were Jehoshaphat and seeing this huge army approaching you. What would you do? King Jehoshaphat was told some terrible news. He was facing a very difficult situation. And as the leader of God's people, he had many people looking to him to make the right choice. What are some choices that he could have made when he heard the news of the army coming? Jehoshaphat could have ran. He could have told his people to leave. But he was a leader whose heart was devoted to God the Father. Although Jehoshaphat was alarmed and feared by the news, he showed his devotion to the Lord by resolving to seek God's help. Not only did he personally turn to God for wisdom, but he led the people in that kingdom to fast and to look to God for help. You and I have the privilege to talk and seek God for his help when we face situations. We also have the opportunity to point others towards Christ and to seek help, to let them know that help is there as well. Let's read in verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that not one of you is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to your descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before the temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are all the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they come out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For they have power against the great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all of Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. So we see that Jehoshaphat publicly prays and calls upon God for his help. As Jehoshaphat looked at this situation, he knew that without God's help, that they would lose this battle against a large army. You may be facing or know someone who is facing something so difficult that they can't see how anything good can come out of it. You can trust God and believe that he has the answer to help you. Point 3. I wrote down is, give God the glory when he overcomes sins and trials. Give God the glory that when we overcome, we can give him the glory, helping us overcome our sins and trials. And this is something that from time to time we forget to do. We need to thank God when he responds to our help, our cry of help. We'll continue reading in verse 20, 2 Chronicles 20:20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and your inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were singing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." So just imagine this. The army is there. King Jehoshaphat leads his people to God. And what does Jehoshaphat do to encourage his people? He didn't send an army. He sent men appointed to sing, to praise God. Could you imagine the perspective from the army that was down there? Thinking they would fight Jehoshaphat's army? Can you imagine seeing a group of Jehoshaphat's people singing and praising God? Be quite the sight. The leader chooses to send his army into their position with a group of men singing praises to God. This never happens in the battlefield. When we choose to completely trust God and follow him, God rescues us. And it will look very strange to those watching. Let's read verse 22 and 23. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Not a whole lot of detail here. We really don't know what all happened here, that they turned on one another. But the bottom line is God stepped in and he took care of the situation. Verse 24. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berekah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Berekah until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. As Jehoshaphat's men looked down on this place where their enemies were waiting, what did they see? They see that their dead bodies fell because the Lord helped them out, protected them. defeated the enemies. Every time God helps us, we should be in awe. We should sing praises. Not only did God rescue Jehoshaphat from the large army, he gave them a large amount of treasure on top of it. It took them 3 days to collect all of it, more than they could carry. God showed his mighty power to the people by rescuing from a large army. Jehoshaphat and all his soldiers responded by praising God, singing. When we choose to seek God's help in our difficulties, we can trust that he will help us, not only when we see his mighty power, but each person that is watching our lives will see how great and awesome God is. Your faith in the Lord will be richly rewarded, and your response will be one of joy and praise to the one who rescued us. Just like Jesus Christ, Joseph, Jehoshaphat, we too can overcome the tests and trials, the sin that we are faced with. Everyone will encounter difficulties and hardships in our lives, but only those of us who learn how to respond correctly, knowing God is our source, will obtain the victory that God is wanting for each and every one of us.